know.
Tell me why.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chemincha, Tati, Serura, Aleph Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha sag benu, tacharenu nora, kufrei shayin sintet nun, nagibor dorshe yehudcha kivavat shamrem, nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. The letters of the month of Kislev, the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet of righteousness, the planet Jupiter, and the Samech that created the constellation Keshet, the astrological sign of Sagittarius, the archer or the bow. Together, the Samech and the Gimel have a gematria of 63, which connects us to the energy store, the Sephirah of Bina. Barchen tacharen, rakame sitkatcha, tami gamle, betetresh, tzaditav Gimel. Tasin kadosh, berov tuvcha, Nae adata et kufet et nunayan. Yachid geya lamcha pene zokre kedushata. Yud gimel lamed hey zayin kuf. Shabbatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu. Yodea talumo shin kufav tzadiyutav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the positive and the negative aspect of that creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emeh, Notze Chesed L'alafim, Notze Awon V'afesha, V'chata'av V'nakei. We're now going to read the verses that we read daily, starting with Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52, the first of two verses that connect to the year 5777, the year of the goat. Tod saduni katsipor oyevai chinam. The first letters of these five words parse into three Hebrew words. Tatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. And the final letters can be permutated into two Hebrew words, dir yam. And this is translated as a sea of tenants. These five new words and the two translations all connect to the energy of the goat. the energy of the year 5777. The second verse has the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, concealed within the verse, and the separation between the letters that spell the name is seven letters each. It is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim badonai yohewahe Elohechem adabaku kasher asitem adayom hazeh. There are two verses that connect to the year 5776, the year of the pause. The first of those two verses is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ayulimat willo yahlu lehashi et kol haolot vayehaskum Achehem Halevim Ad Kilo Tam Lacha Yad Yitkachu HaKohanim Ki Halevim Yishre Levav Lehitkadech Me HaKohanim. This verse has 25 words. We can take the first letter of each of the words, and we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me He 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 Aka A Reka Ha. The second verse connecting to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Be tu ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Ade Ad Ki Bia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Sur Olamim. Now we have the year 5775, the year that death is potentially swallowed up forever. There's three verses for this year. The first is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo yishemi meni lo tateni yad bili ruki. The second verse is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavu iyan Asher yidchabe sham v'shavtem Eilai el nachom V'halati itchem V'chayayim yeshno V'aretz v'chipasti Oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach Yoved Roav Yom Ruayo. And there is one verse that connects to the year of 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East. Wasam ti makom leamili Israel unta ti vishakan ta ta vilo yergal od vilo yosifu. Vene avlal anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. Now the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the Tzaddikim who chose to leave today, which is the 7th of Kislev, Rabbi Aaron Halevi Epstein of Krakow, Rabbi Shlomo Binyamin Halevi Ashlag, and this is the son of Rabbi Yehuda Ashlag, the author of the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, and Rabbi David Zinzheim. And the 8th verse of the Anna Bekoa, we say in a whisper. Tonight's class is the second class in the Tikkuni Zohar. You can find that on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, row 19, the last row, the second column from the left. When you click on that link, it brings you to the Tikkuni Zohar landing page. If you scroll down to class number 2, section 1B is where it will open up. And it opens up to the Tikkuni Zohar of that section in the Aramaic. And we will scan it, but first we will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Erchimud Chilu Liachda L'shem Yud He Bavav He V'Yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael L'imud Torah Mitzvah L'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononehu Ki yamal madit kasiyo Ve'al tzadik dil tata Kaima alma dit kaliyo V'hainu mit tzadik ki Haraviyam mehahu tzadika V'al matalim My harva aravivayam Elo alin Itmar alaihu Al kakiraviyam Finun sitra diavahen Dilit galit Rabin pech Kut mitlat Al kakiraviyam Hiravayim Dashakin Te. You can start scanning on the fourth line. Section 1b. The righteous one refers to the thought that is aligned perfectly with the tree of life. It is the evolving intention that is both emanated from and directed towards the center of radiance described previously. There out of this radiance are those states of being called your people, which is composed of your thoughts, those that you will pay attention to. It is in fact this attention that brings out the Shekhinah, which is the divine connection between those higher thoughts arranged in their hierarchies, anchored below by Malchut, the realm of the righteous one. A commentary. The Tikkuni Zohar is talking about the upper worlds, but it's using our words from the physical world, the way we speak to each other about mundane, practical matters. So what does it mean to be righteous? On our physical level, it means to think about other people, to continue to do our daily mundane tasks, whatever they might be, cooking food for our families, going out to dinner, leaving a tip for a waitress or a waiter, driving and watching the sunset. Our typical mundane tasks. While we are doing that, if we are thinking about other people and sharing with other people, that action is a righteous action. If you read this paragraph with that understanding, righteous one refers to the thoughts. What are you thinking about as you do your mundane tasks of living, of life? Continuing to read. There are different degrees of thought, one above the other, arranged as the 10 Sephirot, also known in the Torah as the Patriarchs, with their ideas seeding Israel along with the resultant thoughts, which are categorized as sages, masters of Torah, pious ones, etc. Each thought, every category, each of the Sephirot, either is a single unit of 10, or individualized in their various representations, is recognized as a unit of measure, whereby we may track our journey above and back again. This paragraph implies that there are relationships, correspondences between thoughts, Sephirot, Patriarchs, Torah students, Torah sages, and all of the above? And the answer is yes, there are. But essentially, the Sephirot is a level of consciousness. The patriarchs are code words for levels of consciousness. The sages are code words for levels of consciousness. The masters of Torah, the pious ones, etc., are all code words for levels of consciousness. And a level of consciousness is a thought. Continuing to read. The permission is given to those souls of the righteous that is always with the Holy One, blessed be He, and the Shekhinah, to dwell in your writing of the Zohar. It said, like a bird wanders from her nest, so is the man that wanders from his place. And the bird refers to the Shekhinah that is sent away from her place. And for that it is said, thou shalt in any wise let the dam go, but the young thou mayest take unto thyself. That includes the Shekhinah of the lower level. The mother is the upper level Shekhinah. There is a mitzvah in the Torah that is not understood. That this mitzvah, sending the mother bird away with it before you take the young birds, the eggs, this mitzvah promises long life. This mitzvah is not understood well or easily. But this paragraph right here from the Tikkuni Zohar gives insight into that mitzvah and the language of the Torah that can be helpful to expand your understanding of that particular mitzvah. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1, we read, "Because of your sins your mother was sent away, and for that you shall send away twice, one for the first holy temple and one for the second holy temple." In order to make true to the verse, "I am Hashem, and my name and honor won't be given to another. I won't give, that is, the Shekhinah below, and my glory, that is, the upper Shekhinah." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wanders from his place, which is the Holy Temple. When it is said Hashem is a man of war, it is for the need to wander because of the sins of the Israelites. And I am adding, the last few paragraphs are referring to the mitzvah of the mother bird and sending away the mother before one takes the eggs or the young. The "he who wanders from his place" refers to one who, having become attached to Torah, is then driven away, is the aspect of holiness that may only be present when we connect with Torah. In consciousness, when we are meditating upon a thing, this is what our thoughts are wrapped around as the center of our focus. When that focus wanders, we lose the center, so to speak, and with that center, the sense of connection, which is referred to as the Shekhinah. The idea of attachment to Torah is reiterated by the bird returning home, which is the Shekhinah returning to the person whose focus once again resumes with Torah. The process of creation is a continuous building operation that always requires our focus. That focus is inherently promoted via the idea of Torah study. What is implied here is that there is no building of that inner house without words of Torah that are spoken, meaning where the connection with the Shekhinah has been established. Now, there are levels of learning that are categorized here, since all knowledge is built upon the foundation that is established via the special openings that Kabbalah makes possible. Kabbalah may also be described in terms of an acute listening, that is, for the express purpose of making connections between verses of Torah and, by extension, the surrounding consciousness, linking the parts to the whole. If a bird's nest chanced to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, with young ones or eggs, and the mother sitting upon the young, or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the mother with the young. When you send away the mother, which is the inherent understanding symbolized by Bina, a vessel is created. The eggs, wherein the insights of Kabbalah are drawn within the mold. In essence, without the mother, a need is created that brings about the flowing of the Shekhinah, just as the question is the need that brings out the answer. I think what this verse is talking about is a relationship between the mother bird, the eggs, the thoughts, and whatever the person is doing at the same time they are thinking words of Torah. I am adding, the above paragraph is giving us a way to understand the mitzvah of the mother bird as the teachings of Kabbalah. The Saba, the grandfather from Mishpatim, reinforces this concept of a filling of wisdom, meaning the flowing connections between the higher wisdom, Hachma, flowing into Bina, so that even though the mother leaves, it is only for the purpose of encouraging the children to fly on their own, or in the imagery just spoken of, to connect via the Shekhinah above and below. The Shekhinah is the temple, and when it is damaged, it must be repaired. And the method of repair is teshuvah. The masters of Torah, etc., make this nest for the Holy One, blessed be He, by their overflowing trust in Hashem, thereby becoming, in effect, a vehicle for the divine immanence, that is the Shekhinah, an abode that is continuously fills becoming in the moment the place of the divine, or the dwelling of the Most High, in effect, repairing the temple. The righteous ones, followers of Abraham, live on the level of chesed, so that there you do not embody chesed unless you have a suitable place for it, the Shekhinah, to call home. And this is implying building a place for the Shekhinah in your heart, as expressed in the areas, certain sections of the Torah. That's the end of section 1b. Does anybody have any questions? Section 2a. Kav deliya, beit deliya, kav deliya. Malon Diliya Uvriya Kadisha Ihi Yehodiya Uvyotaya Velav Milim Milon Liakasanayo Ela Kafom Pahu Barnash Kitakin La Uginda Yehayev Medat Hesed Leavraham Gevuriyam Mesatra Degavora Yehivayim Tukfa Lemarehom Bekavosh eved tachat rabo, Beshivcha techot devirataha, Kashora detafalin, Demandalit lea tefillin, Beshat kariat shema, Mesitra, Ilaya, Shalit aved v'shafacha al alma uvahushatad regalze shekinta adahu diktiv tahat aved ki yimalo v'shafcha ki teresh kevirateh. You can start scanning on line 7. Section 2a. This idea of chesed comes into play because there is an overflowing that takes place due to the consistent focus that is maintained by the righteous, giving rise to the unity that comes from the Shekhinah and the connection that is established. Out of this connection, the further flowing of thought takes place, increasing in holiness as it goes along. What is this like? A king has a vast treasury, and each day it is filled by overflowing, so that soon he can no longer build more room to house his treasure. What does he do? He devises a plan to open his treasury via two doors, where each day ministers from his kingdom load up their wagons with the excess treasure and distribute it back to the people in the form of all that their needs require. In this way, his kingdom not only becomes the richest in the world, but his people are known for their vast generosity towards others. This paragraph is describing the children of Israel. This paragraph is a metaphor for the way we should act. This paragraph is a metaphor for righteousness. Intention that lacks direction or whose direction is scattered subverts the plan of chesed. When there is a proper passing through the overflowing of thought into the realm here of Yevorah, there is the conviction or strength of thought that is like the knot that is tied in the tefillin. The Shema functions as the unifier of consciousness, always coalescing into the one. However, this unification requires the discipline of tefillin, which represents a knot of intention that regroups itself for the purpose of unification. Tefillin is the knot that regulates the flow of thought. Without the spigot of tefillin, thought does not compress and becomes miserly, thin, and unfocused. For a servant when he reigns, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Specifically, when we have a thought that rises above, it is up to us to continue that upward motion. The same dynamic takes place in terms of Torah study. Once an insight is gained, it must not become a static occurrence, but must be used as a stepping stone for further progress. Increased learning, and a greater sense of unity with Hashem. The mistress or master that thought serves is the directive to go on, going continuously, mirroring the actions of creation along the way. I'm not making a comment because I think the paragraph is very clear. What happens at midnight? Those thoughts of the day rise and become one with the Shekhinah, called night, meaning they are ripe for the bearing of insights into Torah. This process is another instance of the overflowing of thought into its appropriate vessels for the fulfillment of the intention that has promoted the thought in the first place. And prophets symbolize what happens when we look deeply into the secrets of Torah. We not only see the underlying essence, we are also given intimation of what will come next, leading to an understanding of the whole. You're in a moment. You're studying the Torah. You receive a kiddush, a new revelation of Torah. That leads you to the next moment for another continuing new revelation of Torah. Why does that not happen all the time? Because you lose focus in your intellect, in your consciousness, in your thoughts. If we juxtapose the 10 Sefirot with the 613 mitzvot, then we may see that unity is its purpose. 613 is 6 plus 1 plus 3, when added together, becomes 10, and then reduces that to 1. So too does the dual name Adonai, and Hashem is equal to Yud Aleph Hey Dalet Vav Nun Hey Yud, representing the unity of purpose in that Hashem, when placed together in Torah, is pronounced Yud Ke Vav Ke Elohim, showing how creation brings forth that which already is in a sequence of becoming, revelation upon revelation. Therefore, Ezekiel's 10 visions in like manner all stem from a single insight that is expanded due to their holy nature. The cluster of mitzvot described is as if to say that we partake or fulfill each mitzvah, we are entering more fully into the unity that makes up the inherent basis for all of Torah. Those who do not strive in Torah lose that holy connection, sending away the mother, or bina, the understanding that comes with Torah study. My commentary. This sequence of the divine name is truly important to understand some of its aspects. Each time you see this sequence, Adonai Hashem, in this Sefer, please realize that you should be seeing the following sentence or equation. Adonai Hashem is equal to Yud Aleph Hey Dalet Vav Nun Hey Yud, which is equal to 91, which is equal to Yud Aleph Hey Dalet Vav Nun Hey Yud, which is equal to Yud Hey Vav Hey Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. One should also realize that this divine name sequence sometimes is in reverse, like this: Aleph Yud Dalet Hey Nun Vav Yud Hey. The first sequence is when Hashem is coming down to Malchut, and the second sequence is when Malchut is rising to Hashem. Please note Hashem is also Zeron Pit, and please keep this in mind whenever you see this sequence. Then, by observing the Sabbath, the unification of mother and father is observed, which is the joining together of the intention and its subsequent mode of discovery that takes place through a continuing focus. In consciousness, there ensues a raised level of awareness. For it is your life and the way of your days upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. For there are three worlds: this world, the garden below, and the world that is coming. When Eliyahu finished speaking, they pondered this meaning. There are three worlds in this verse that refers to how the creation builds upon itself. The first two are the father and mother that is inherited by honoring both the intention and its antecedent, understanding. This is called your life, and the way of your days is the lower garden. This alludes to living your life in such a way in order to understand each day in its context. Torah is the integration of the two becoming one. This lower garden leads to the world that is coming, and as a result, the low world, or the world of manifestation, is what appears upon the land that the Hashem Elohim gives you. All three unified via the verses that describe them in their various appearances throughout Torah. If you do not pursue Torah and its deeper meanings, it is as though you were abandoning the divine intention. The only way we reach the divine is to ponder the mysteries. When you bind the tefillin, it is as though you are attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it says, do not take the mother upon the children, it implies the connection that occurs when we are studying Torah. This connection is in response to our question and our sincere intention to receive the fruit of Torah. There is a unity of relationship that cannot be broken by taking the mother or the understanding away from the children, who are described earlier as masters of Kabbalah. You must become immersed in Torah, and then the understanding you receive makes you masters of Kabbalah. The second part of this is also its converse. You shall surely send away the mother, which shows us that without the understanding, the children are vulnerable, meaning that without understanding, the masters of Kabbalah are bereft of that holy connection. Keep the sign 8 days in the field. Keep the Shabbat. Those that do this reiterate the dual divine name. The end of the section. Are there any questions? I think it's appropriate, even though it's a little early, I think it's appropriate to stop here. If anybody has any questions, please ask them. Tomorrow at 4:30 we will have a mini Zohar class. That's Wednesday, and at 7:00 we'll have any practical questions and answers. Thursday at 4:30 we will have an advanced reincarnation class. And at 7:00, a Zohar class on the Parasha Vayetze. Saturday at 6:00 is our Havdalah ritual. And at 7:00, we will have a Zohar class on the Parasha Vayishlach, the new Parasha, the new energy of the week. Sunday, 10:30 in the morning, We will begin our study in preparation for Hanukkah. And at 2:00, we will have our study, our third class, which is really more like our third and a half class on the Ana B'Koach and the 72 names. Does anyone have any questions? I wish you all a beautiful evening. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.